Well, good morning. That was horrible, people. Good morning. It is good to see your faces. It is Happy New Year. It has been a while since we've been together, and I'm glad to be back here with you. And just enjoyed a season for my family of being with my extended family as we were all together. And of course, everyone got sick, so that was awesome. But I hope you had an enjoyable Christmas season with your families and New Year's. It is good to be back. It is unbelievable to me that it has been almost a year to this week that I stood up here for the first time as we, my wife and I and my family, were kind of introduced to Terra Nova and Saratoga as we launched into this new season of life for us as working towards becoming an autonomous church here in Saratoga, meeting Sunday mornings, which is new. For those of you who weren't a part of that, this church met as a location of Terra Nova and Troy on Sunday nights, and this a year ago began the process of becoming an autonomous church. They've asked me to come on as lead pastor at that point in time. I can't believe it has been a year. And I look back at this year and just what God has done. In some ways, it feels like I've always been here. In some ways, it feels like it was just yesterday. I'm so excited that God has brought me to this place and brought me to be a part of this family and this community. You have welcomed me in, and I'm just so thrilled. My family is just so thrilled to be here worshiping with you. And I look back at this season, it was a season of transition for us. I think for all of us, I think that was the theme of the year. I felt really strongly, you know, as we walked in, that God gave me two things as I walked in to begin leading this church, and that was get to know people and faithfully proclaim the word. Those were my two goals throughout the year. And I feel like God has enabled me to do that. And as I've been taking some time, especially over the last few days and weeks in this Christmas season, I've been stopping and had time to pray and think and ask God, what does next year look like? You know, as we jump in to 2017 and we look forward to what this year holds for us as a church, I'm asking God this question: God, what is it that you have for us? What is the theme of this year going to be? What do you want from us this year? What charge would you give us? What are the things that you want us to learn and understand and know at the end of this year, looking back, at the end of 2017, and as we look back at this year, what is it that God would have for us? What story would he write for us? What charge would he give? When I do weddings, there's this moment in the wedding where I charge the bride and the groom. I do this individually, and I look at the groom, and I charge him with the things that God has said that he is supposed to be as a husband to his wife. And it's a charge that I give. And then I turn to the bride, and I do the same thing. This is what the scriptures call you to. This is what God is saying he wants for you in your marriage. This is what your marriage is supposed to look like and be like. It's this moment of charge. And so my question for God over the last few weeks is, God, what would you charge us with? What would you give? This isn't about writing our own narrative or our own agenda or coming up with our own ideas or strategies of what to do, but it's discovering and submitting to the things that God has, because he's the head of the church. It's about seeking God's movement and direction and following hard after him. This past few months and weeks, I've unplugged and rested and spent some time praying, reflecting, looking forward, and asking God this question: what do you have for us? And one theme kept coming back over and over in my mind as I would spend time praying, as I would spend time in reading the scriptures, as I would spend time talking with some of you, hearing what God had put on your heart. We spent a few, give you some cards a few weeks ago, and we asked you to write down those things that what would you do if you knew God was with you and you knew God had called you, what things would you do? And it was just so telling as we read through those, the heartbeat of so many of you. It was so helpful for me in clarifying those things I feel like God is leading us to. One theme kept coming back over and over again, Even on Christmas Eve, as we stood and we passed out the candles, these candles that represented the light that we took from a single candle up here, and we spread it out throughout the sanctuary. If you were here, it was a beautiful night. There's something happened as I stood up here Christmas Eve, because the lights were on, it was dark. I can't see anybody's faces. It's the weirdest thing. You hear people, and you hear coughing, and you hear babies cry, but you don't see anybody. And then all of a sudden, as that light passed from person to person, this light that is representative, we said, of the gospel going forward, you could see light illuminate the faces. And I saw the faces of people I know and I love, and I know their stories. I stood up here, and the whole room, which was dark, is now full of light. I feel like it was just confirming to those things. And this is the theme that I think God is giving us, is that the light of the gospel of Christ. I feel like what God is impressing upon us and what he's charging us with this year, as a church in the coming months, is not some kind of new thing. It's not a gimmick or strategy, but something at core of who we are as believers in Christ. And is this, it is a renewed passion to be lights of the gospel in a dark world. As I sat down and I read the cards you all turned in, this theme came over and over again. As I sit down and read the scriptures, this is the theme that God brought unto my heart over and over again. And this is what I feel like he's leading us in and leading us to for this coming year. So I want to spend some time this morning talking about this. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 5, or verse chapter 1, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one. They look like this in the seats in front of you. If you need one, just raise your hand and we can get one to you. But turn to page 576 in your Bibles here, if you have them. We read this scripture Christmas Eve with candles lit, and the light from each candle that was passed out illuminating this place. And this is what it says: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus is the pre-existent agent of creation, who is the source and origin of light, because only light can displace the darkness. And friends, there's real darkness in the world. And even as I would watch the news in the last few weeks and months and just seeing the overall kind of feeling of hopelessness that people have in this world today, it's nothing new, but it just felt so much more poignant this year. So we looked at what was happening in our world all over, crises and refugees and starvation and death and evil. The concept of light in the Gospel of John that we just read is throughout the book. And according to this gospel, Jesus is not only the life, as we just read, but he's also the light of the world. In the New Testament, the concept of light became equated with the power of good, which was engaged in this offensive war against the power of evil. Light becomes symbolic of a true revelation of God, and almost an equivalent in terms of for Jesus himself and for the salvation that he brings to men. So when John would say Jesus is light, it has all this symbolic meaning of this, the power of good over darkness, of life over death, as God pushed back against the evil and the darkness of this world by sending his son to bring salvation to men. And this is what God has done. Everything good, everything that is light and life is from Jesus. He is the origin and the source of everything that is opposed to the evil of this world. It comes from him. This one who spoke the world into existence, the one, this pre-existent one who has the power over life and death, is the light of the world to push back the darkness that we feel and that we live in and walk in. We discover in this passage in John that it is Jesus who is the author of all that is light and life. We learn something about God here, and we see it again in 1 John 1:5. It's on the screen here, that this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Everything that is true and good and right and life and light is from God. Jesus is the source and definition of what is true and good. He came into the world on a mission to seek and save that which was lost, to be the light of the world through whom all men could be saved to eternal life. Zechariah was a priest in the temple. His son was a guy by the name of John the Baptist you might have heard of. He gives this declaration, this prophecy in Luke chapter 1. He says, "The sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace." And so we have seen through the scriptures that Jesus is representative of life and light. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for what I feel like God is leading us and charging us with as a church? And it's this, is that we know and appreciate this about Jesus. But what does this mean for us? As Jesus was sent as light into the darkness. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. As Jesus was sent on a mission to seek and save the lost, as he was sent as a light to the darkness of the world, he also sends us, all of those who follow him, who have passed from death to life, those who on whom the light has shone, to now go into the darkness and spread that same light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it's on the screen, says this: "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Jesus says these words as he meets in the Sermon on the Mount, and he gathers his disciples together, and he's laying out for them a new mission. He's laying out for them a new kingdom ethic of how they're going to live their lives and what they're going to be like as people who follow him and as people who are part of this kingdom. And he says this: you're the light of the world. Sending them out to be representatives of a new kind of people, of people who press back against the darkness, of people who represent God as God is light. They reflect that into the world. This is the mission he gives them. God's intention for his followers is that we shine with purpose and in public. Christianity is not a secret society. There's a mission that we have. There's a mission that God has given us. That is, just as he has come into the world as light, we too are to be lights into our communities and world. And once we have been saved by the light of the world, we become reflections of that light to the world that we live in. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says this: Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. God wants us to be in this world as ambassadors and representatives of the light of Jesus. And we cannot do that when we are hidden. We cannot do that by surrounding ourselves with protective bubble wrap. Light shines brightest in the darkness. I noticed that Christmas Eve as we sat here, and there's something about a candle. I could take this candle out in the middle of the day and you could barely even see it. But in the middle of the night, in the darkest dark of the night, you could see it from miles away. That's what effect light has on darkness. Darkness can't overcome it. Light shines brightly in the darkness. Jesus was sent by God into a dark world to be the light of two men in darkness. And this is the brilliance of the incarnation, that God would come and be and walk the dirt and dust of this place to be with us, to bring us to him. It's the same mission that Jesus gives his disciples. As he's getting ready to leave them, as he's getting ready to go, he says this in John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so send I you." How did the Father send him? Well, we read it in John chapter 1, to be the light of the world, to come press back against the darkness, to bring hope and reconciliation to people, to be ambassadors of reconciliation to the world. And this is not just for his disciples, but this is a mission and a charge that he gives every Christian. As Christians, we have been charged with a mission of taking the light of the gospel of Jesus into the darkness of this world around us. This is God's chosen method of how to communicate with humanity what he has done, how to communicate with humanity the gospel, the good news of his life, death, and resurrection, and his substitutionary payment for their sin so they could be one with God again. And think about this. When God wants to communicate what he has done in the world and through history, he chooses you. Out of all the ways he could do it, I mean, the God who spoke the world into existence, his plan A is to send the gospel, the good news of what he has done through you and me. We would think that the best way to do something would be for God to show up in a bright, flaming glory of heaven and tell everyone about himself, but that's not how he chooses to do it. And what we know from theology is we understand that God is all-wise, which means in the ways in which he does things are the best possible way to accomplish what he wants and his ends. And so what that means is that his method of telling the world about himself through us is better than if he were to show up in blazing glory in the sky and tell everybody. Think about that for a minute. We are God's plan A, to bring the message of the light of the gospel of Christ to the world. It's us. In John's revelation, as he is brought to the future and he is in the throne room of God, as he's seeing what is taking place and what has happened on earth, he sees before the throne of God the people of the earth. People of the earth who belong to God, who are worshiping and who are throwing themselves down in worship before the throne of God. And he sees people from every tribe and tongue and nation. Everyone. What do we learn from that? We learn that the message of the gospel that's going to go through people, from person to person, will spread throughout the whole world. Jesus, as he's leaving, he's ready to ascend to heaven, he gathers his disciples together in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he says this: "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The message of the gospel will go forth. And just like we saw on Christmas Eve here, as we passed out one light from one person to the next, one person shared that light with the other until the whole place was illuminated. And this is what the scriptures say is going to take place and it's going to happen. Is that the message of the gospel is going to come through God's people to those who live in darkness. They will respond and they will take that light and spread it as well. This is the mission that he gives his people, to get the word out. This is our purpose. This is our mission. This is the charge from our master. People ask me all the time. I talk to people who are retired or whose kids have left the home, and they're wondering, and they say, "Pastor, what am I supposed to do with my life? I my whole life was building my career, and now that's that part of my life is done. Or my whole life was kind of raising my kids, and now my kids are gone. What do I do? What's my purpose? This is what God has given us. To be lights of the world everywhere we go, no matter what we're doing, whether we're working or we're home or we're supposed to be givers of light, agents of reconciliation, ambassadors of peace to a world that is dark and needy. To be God's witnesses on earth, witnesses of what we have seen and what we have heard. That's what a witness does. They stand up in front of a courtroom and they say, "This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. This is what happened to me. And this is what we're to be, and this is what we're to do in our world." Lights of the gospel, bringing it to every corner of the world. Our mission as a church, if you've been a part of Terra Nova for any given period of time, our mission statement is pretty simple. It's to make more and better disciples of Jesus. That's it. That was one of the reasons that I really was attracted to Terra Nova. And a year ago, as I was praying and thinking about, God, what do you have for me? This mission statement just rung out to me. Because that's what I want to be a part of. The mission of a church is about making more and better disciples of Jesus. This is why we exist. This is why all churches exist. We don't exist so that we can have the coolest show in town. We don't exist so we can gather large crowds of people and set up a guru in front of us. We don't exist to build huge buildings and see huge crowds. Some of those things aren't bad, but friends, 100 years from now, what are they going to matter? I don't know, but I don't want to give my life and pour my life out to something that 100 years from now is going to be in someone's trash heap. It's going to be in a landfill somewhere. The mission of the church is to make more and better disciples. The mission of each believer is to make more and better disciples. We do this in our work, and we do this in our homes with our children. We make more and better disciples of Jesus. One of our core values, which identify us as who we are, our core values are the framework for how we do ministry, is that we are going to be monastic and missional in how we approach our ministry. Monastic means that we strive to make better disciples. We live as a community, kind of like a monastery. We gather for worship. We're instructed by the word. We bear each other's burdens. We do this as a church. We are a family of God, the body of Christ. This is the Greek word ekklesia, which means the called out assembly. It's those who are called out. They assemble together. We do this. We gather here Sunday mornings. We gather in tribes throughout the week, and we worship, and we build into one another, and we disciple one another, and we encourage one another and exhort one another and remind each other what the scriptures have called us to. We instruct and learn and teach. We want to be monastic in that way. But it doesn't stop there. We don't just gather and that's all we do is become this place of learning. But we're also missional because we strive to make more disciples. The church continues the work and the mission of a missional God who came into the world as the light of the world. We scatter and live outside of these walls. We gather here Sunday and we scatter throughout the week to take the message of the light of the gospel of Christ to the world, living out the gospel around us, being agents of reconciliation on mission with Christ. We do this in word, and we do this in deed as we love our neighbors, as we care for those around us, as we minister to their needs and those who are in desperate places. And we press back against the darkness and we speak truth and life and light into the life. And we give the gospel of peace that saves their soul. This is our mission. We think and act and work like missionaries in our world. To spread the gospel of light. Because that's what God has given us to do. Churches who don't do this are not on mission. I've been a pastor now for 15 years. I come from a long line of pastors. I'm a fourth generation. My dad was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. My great-grandfather was a pastor. I've seen churches get off mission. I've seen churches become cloistered and self-focused. I've seen churches who forgot what they were there for. And what happens is they might have all the trappings of church, and they might have all the trappings of a called-out assembly, and they might even be learning and growing in their own knowledge, but they fail to pass that on to the next generation. They fail to take the discipleship to the next level, to the next generation. And they grow old together, and they die. And then someone buys their church building and makes it into a condo. And you drive through some of the towns in New England, and there's more people living in old churches than actually worship in them. This happens over and over again. I've seen this. When a church gets off mission, it loses its focus and withers. It's not doing what God has called it to be and do. I've seen churches that look more like country clubs for religious people than places of discipleship, growth, and development that are having impact on their world and community with the light of the gospel. And so when I look at that and see that, I tremble. Because I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a church that goes into its community and loves and cares and meets the needs. And when people have questions and when they have needs and when they have wondering how they can find life and hope in the darkness of this world, that they know where to go to. That we are people who are active and pressing forth the light of the gospel to the ends of the world in this community. So that 100 years from now, when our buildings are gone and our names are forgotten, the generations that come after us can point back to this congregation and these people and say, that's where my family's life began. That's where we found light and life and darkness was back in that place from those people. Pass on a heritage to the next generation. So how can we be on mission? How can we bear witness and be lights of the gospel and bear witness to the things that we have seen or heard? How do we do that? There are two questions I get more often than not as a pastor. And in the 15 years I've served, these two questions have come up probably more than any. Number one is, how do I know God's will for my life? And number two is, how do I share the gospel with my friends and family? How many of you, let's just see a show of hands, have felt intimidated to share your faith? Everybody. It can be intimidating, especially in a culture that is increasingly post-Christian and seemingly and growingly antagonistic towards the things of Jesus. He said it was going to be this way. He told us they're going to hate you because they hated me. If you are following after Jesus, you're not going to be, it's not a popularity trajectory. Our world has changed in the last 100 years, and so too must our strategies for how we go about being lights of the gospel of Christ in our world and our community. How do we be witnesses of the gospel? My great-grandfather's strategies for sharing the gospel and being light in his community are going to be different than what we're going to do. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that sometimes, especially if you grew up in the church like I did. Many of you, as I've had conversations, have talked with me asking this question of how we better share our faith and voiced how you want training and equipping for how best to do that. And so beginning this month, we're going to be offering a training on how to best to communicate the gospel, and to be lights in your community, in your work, in your home, in your family. There are many tools out there as we look at this landscape of opportunities here. But one that I have found to be highly effective and really grasping and helping train people to share the gospel and be lights in their community is called The Story by Spread Truth Ministries. And so we're going to be getting the story training right here Thursday nights starting January 19th. To give you an opportunity to come, to sit down, to help you know, live, and share the gospel. This is what it's about. It's a 9-week class that we're going to do right here starting 6 o'clock. It's going to be about an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes, where we really focus on what is the message that God is asking us to share and how do we share in our culture, in our world, using media and social media and print media and all the tools that we have available to us today. So we want to give you opportunity. We want to equip you to be a church, to be a people who can share your faith and be lights in the community as we share the gospel with others. Friends, if we were just doing this to be obedient, if we were just answering God's call to us to obey, to go into the world as he was sent into the world, to be a light to the world, that would be enough. It would be enough for Jesus just to say, hey, go do this. But even more than that, as I look around where we are, we're talking about our friends, we're talking about our families, we're talking about our community, people who God loves, people who we love. We want to be on mission sharing the gospel because we really truly believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. We want to be on mission because we really truly believe he is the light that can press back the darkness and hopelessness in people's lives. He is the one who can save. He is the one who can give purpose and meaning in life. And so because we love people, we want to share the gospel with people. And I know that some of you have been praying for people over the years. People who you love, people who you care about, people who don't know Jesus, who are walking in darkness and not in light. I know the burden of that and the weight of that. As you came in today, you got a little card. Here's what I'd like you to do. In your own time, take out this card. And as you think about it and pray about it, I want you, this is a card for you, this is just for you. Take this card and start writing down names of the people in your life who you want to pray for, to give you opportunity to speak of the gospel of Christ in their life, to be the light in their life. And I want you to ask this question of yourself: what does it look like for me to be a light in their lives? What does it look like for me to be a light in my community and my work? Take this list and write this down. Keep it in your Bible, put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror at home. My hope is that a year from now we can look back on all that God has done here and we can see faces of the names of the people you write down sitting next to you, worshiping the God who created them, who loves them. That we can see more and better disciples being made here. That we can be a light of the gospel, that people drive by and understand that this is the place of light and hope. Because of the people who come here, not because of the building, not because of the pastors, not because of any other reason or factor, but that we are people who go into our community, love and care and bring light into it. I want to close this morning with this scripture. And I just want you to close your eyes and just hear the words. Let it wash over you as we close our time. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with the word of God. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but is Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for this reminder this morning. God, over the last few weeks, have you just laying this on my heart and challenging me with this. God, I pray that you would give us courage. I pray that we would be on mission for you, spreading the light of the gospel of Christ to the ends of the world, in the dark places, the places that need you. Not just because you said it and we want to obey, but because we love people. God, we love them with a love that you loved us, which is why you sent your son to us. And so, God, I pray that we would do well in this. I pray you give us courage to do this well. I want to pray right now for the names of the people who our church will write down. That, God, you give opportunity for the gospel of the light of Christ to be shown in their lives. That you would give opportunity for us to speak truth and love and light in their world. God, that we would be agents of reconciliation and ambassadors for you with the gospel of hope in a dark world. And we pray this in your name. Amen.